Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
But it is International Women's Day, and on the line now is a woman whose life story is just jaw-dropping. What she's been through, what she's achieved, and where it has all brought her is just remarkable. Sylvia Vasquez-Lovato has written about it in her new book, In the Shadow of the Mountain. Write it down. It's an incredible read, and I can't wait to talk to her. She's on the line. Sylvia, good morning.
Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi.
Happy International Women's Day.
Same to you. Sylvia, let's start with some of your recent achievements. For listeners who don't know you, what did you complete in June 2018?
I completed Denali, which was my last mountain, and then I completed this beautiful journey called Climbing the Seven Summits, which is climbing the tallest mountain in each continent in the world.
Wow. Wow. It's just incredible what you've done. And it's beyond what most of us can imagine doing with our bodies. How would you describe that feeling you get from mountain climbing?
You know, I mean, the way that I started mountain climbing was as a way of finding healing. And being in mountains, I mean, especially at high altitude mountains, pushes me to be really, really present and connected to my body. So there is this beautiful sense of gratitude and accomplishment every time I'm able to get to a summit. I mean, the views are just unobstructed. And there is just a beautiful appreciation that I have. And the way that I've looked at mountains, it's never been, whenever I'm on a peak, it's never about conquering. It's about commuting. It's about, you know, being able to be at peace with nature. So it's really a really powerful emotion for me.
And I'm sure part of your healing process of everything you've been through. Can we just go back a little bit and talk about your family life at home?
Mm-hmm. Yes, unfortunately, like many people, I mean, especially with women, the statistic is pretty sad, but one in three women around the world are going to have to experience some kind of sexual violence. And for me, unfortunately, I was sexually abused as a little girl from ages 6 to 10, almost 10 years old. And that period just took away for me all my innocence, the child of being a little girl. And that was quite challenging. And then on top of this, I mean, growing up in Peru, in the 80s, there was a lot of uncertainty. We had a terrorist movement that used to, destroy so much within our country. So there was not a lot of solidity, a lot of safety in my home.
How did you get out? You eventually, after years of abuse, you approached your mother. Is that right? And you told her, and she had a plan to get you out.
Yes, unfortunately, my mother had no idea what had happened. I mean, especially because the abuser told me that my parents were behind it. And it took me about almost 6 years by the time I was, when the abuse stopped, for me to tell my mother. Unfortunately, like most, many survivors, I thought it was my fault. And I put all the shame and started building all the negativity in me. Ultimately, the opportunity for me to leave the country came, and I went to the U.S. with a scholarship to start my new life. Yet, you know what happens when we try to run away from our problems? It's not really the smart thing to do.
Yeah, you won a college scholarship in the U.S. in Pennsylvania, is that right? Allowing you to leave that behind you, but you can't, like you said, you can't escape trauma like that if you don't deal with it. How did it manifest in your life there?
Unfortunately, I became the rage, the shame, all those emotions came back to me. I would say right after college, I kept pretending that I didn't have a past. I kept pretending that, you know, I didn't have a childhood. I almost wanted to erase that part of me. And I became a raging alcoholic. It was the easiest way for me to numb my pain, to numb those moments. At times when I would feel vulnerable. So I became an alcoholic, and ultimately I became an addict through just my drinking, which was quite painful.
But you're sober now, 4 years. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's an incredible achievement.
One day at a time.
One day at a time. Absolutely. So you're in America and you're drinking. You said in your book you're hooking up. Sex was at play here. You were hooking up with lots of people, and were you living a double life as well? Because you're hooking up with men, but you're gay, right?
Yes, I also, right before, at the end of my college time, I did realize that I was gay, and my family was incredibly Catholic and conservative.
Wow.
So, and my mother had expressed how she, I mean, out of all people, the one thing that she disdained the most were lesbians. And so unfortunately, because I hadn't dealt with my trauma, I felt, well, and my life had been full of secrets and secrecy. I figured, you know, what is one more secret? So I started developing a double life, and I was afraid that at my work, they would react negatively if they knew that I was gay. So I figured, like, I could, you know what, I could easily manage it all. And I started, I mean, and that started, I think, building up more of my shame. And I think that also accentuated my drinking even more, because I couldn't, it's just not having support, not having a community that really, that I would be able to be very honest and upfront, and you know, just only my pain kept amplifying.
Did your mother ever accept your sexuality?
She tried. I know it was hard for her. I think what also made it difficult was the society that we lived in, and just how judgmental things were. I mean, she tried to accept it, though. I would laugh, I even shared this on the book, but when my mother passed away on her wake, she hadn't told people that I was gay. So I was doing my coming out at her wake.
Oh, God. Oh, no. It's so sad. If you could go back, though, you know, and talk to yourself during, you know, those years of your drinking and hooking up, what would you try and get across?
Oh, my God. First of all, I will tell that version of me, listen, this wasn't your fault.
Yeah.
There's nothing you need to be ashamed of. And I would tell her, please, you need to get help. You know, what you're doing, you're self-destroying yourself. This is, you know, you didn't cause any of these, and don't think that you can do this on your own. And I think I definitely would be, just don't be afraid of reaching out. Vulnerability is strength, it's not weakness.
And speaking of not doing it on your own, can you tell us who the courageous girls are and why did you bring them to Everest?
Yes, you know, it's interesting because even the way that I found this journey for me, what got me into climbing was the beginning of my healing. And this is what's so unique for me. I had hit almost rock bottom, and I had asked my mother that I needed help. And she had me going down to Peru and do a powerful healing meditation. And on this vision, I saw myself as a little girl, as the girl that I had been trying to erase and ignore. And then I saw myself as an adult, and the two of us connected and kind of became whole again. And then mountains opened up around us, and my little girl took me to mountains. And so that was the very first vision that led me to go to the base of Everest. And when I got to the base of Everest in Nepal the very first time, I was so mesmerized by the journey that I made a promise to return one day and come back with as a spiritual mountaineer to attempt to climb Mount Everest, but also come back with a social cause as a way to give back. So Courageous Girls ultimately became that social cause as part of that promise. It didn't start after many, many years later, but it is this opportunity of working with young women, survivors of sexual abuse, of sex trafficking, and allowing them to experience healing in nature. We've been mostly focused in Nepal, especially because of the experiences that we had working with a lot of the survivors there. But we're hoping to keep expanding around the world.
Wow. That's incredible. Your life has been so challenging, and it's commendable that you giving back and doing this gorgeous thing with the Courageous Girls. Here you are. You have this book. How did it feel to write it all down? Was that traumatic looking back, or was it therapeutic?
It was both. It certainly was the most challenging experience. I would say possibly that this was the tallest inner mountain that I had to climb, and I had to do it at sea level and while sober. And it certainly, I mean, and this is what I'm truly proud of the book, how raw, how vulnerable it is. It is an incredible roller coaster. It takes you through a variety of emotions, but I felt I really needed to share what was in my heart. And I needed to revisit a lot of very painful memories. And this was the kind of book that I wish I would have read in the midst of all of my self-destruction. So on that degree, I think I was it was on both areas of the spectrum. It has completely saved my life. I was able to once and for all release of so much pain and shame that I had kept in store. And on the other hand, too, I had to be quite brave to face a lot of the memories and the emotions. But I was quite lucky that I had a lot of support, especially my therapist, who we were able to do a lot of the therapy sessions. And that's kind of how the book feels, that raw, vulnerable, that very honest. But on the bright side, it has totally liberated me. It's allowed to cement my voice in the world, and I couldn't be more grateful for it.
Sylvia, how did you feel when you heard that your story would be made into a film starring the one and only Selena Gomez?
Yes. Oh, God. I mean, if I could treasure that day forever, I was totally taken off guard. Actually, the day that I got the news that she would be, you know, playing me, I was in a small remote village in Peru. I was working with some amazing young women there. And there was very little connectivity. There was not a lot of electricity. It was really late at night when my agent was desperately trying to get a hold of me. And when I took the call, I was so far removed from our day-to-day reality. And I remember her screaming like, "Oh my God, Selena's in." And it took me a second, like, "Selena, wait, oh my God, Selena." And I was just incredibly grateful and excited. I mean, the amount of admiration that I have for her, it's unbelievable. I mean, you know, for being such an accomplished young woman, I think she has been so brave, just taking such a big step, being vulnerable, you know, being able to share with the world all the different challenges that she's going through. You know, even with the very first time that I got the exposure in Peru, I remember getting a lot of public press notoriety in my country, and that freaked me out. I think that got my drinking going. So imagine the pressure that she has to live with every day, and the way that she's dealing with it is quite admirable. I think she has all the elements.
She'll be great. She'll be great, and it's going to be great. But people need to go and get this book because it's an incredible read. And I know you've done Everest, but you need to come over here and do Kirkpatrick.
I would love to.
You probably run up the thing in about 25 minutes.
No. Not really. I have to tell you, I have strength, I have endurance, I don't have speed. Okay. So I'm not breaking any records.
Well, you've done it and you're incredible. And thank you so much for taking the call today. And best of luck in everything you do, Sylvia, okay?
Likewise, Jennifer.
Thanks,
all the
love.
Best and happy International Women's Day.
Happy International Women's Day. There we go. That is Sylvia. Sylvia Vasquez-Lovato. Her book is In the Shadow of the Mountain. Go and get it. It is a phenomenal read. We'll be right back.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.